From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Becoming Fit for Glory. The text is found in Psalm 84 and verse 11. The Lord will give grace and glory. Grace is what we need just now, and it is to be had freely. What can be freer than a gift? Today we shall receive sustaining, strengthening, sanctifying, satisfying grace. He has given daily grace until now, and as for the future, that grace is still sufficient. If we have but little grace, the fault must lie in ourselves. For the Lord is not straitened, neither is He slow to bestow it in abundance. We may ask for as much as we will, and never fear a refusal. He giveth liberally, and upbraideth not. The Lord may not give gold, but He will give grace. He may not give gain, but He will give grace. He will certainly send us trial, but He will give grace in proportion thereto. We may be called to labor and to suffer, but with the call there will come all the grace required. What an and is that in the text! And glory! We do not need glory yet, and we are not yet fit for it, but we shall have it in due order. After we have eaten the bread of grace, we shall drink the wine of glory. We must go through the holy, which is grace, to the holiest of all, which is glory. These words, and glory, are enough to make a man dance for joy. A little while, and then glory forever.
The day seems long, but rise.
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Being Unashamed of the Gospel. In one of the most famous texts in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul declared, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He testified that although he might be ashamed of his personal weaknesses, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Indeed, he was thrilled by it, and he burned to proclaim it. As Dr. Cairns explains, Christians face many temptations to be ashamed of the gospel, such as fear of man, rejection by society, or even fear of death. Yet, as we'll see, there are overwhelming reasons for believers not to be ashamed as they seek to spread the good news of salvation through Christ. Now, to continue this message, Being Unashamed of the Gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
Paul was proud of the gospel. He boasted in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel was his constant glorying. It thrilled him. I must say, I love this about Paul, and I condemn myself when I compare me to Paul. Paul never got to the place where the gospel was just something he had heard before. I believe every day that man opened his eyes, the gospel came with fresh clarity and fresh power, and it thrilled him. It thrilled him. That's why he wasn't ashamed of it. That's why he preached it. That's why he couldn't be moved from it. It thrilled him. It wasn't just a doctrine. He wasn't just a fighting fundamentalist. Oh, he was that and a whole lot more. He wasn't just a theological orthodox man who dotted his I's and crossed his T's. He was that too and more. But what it was, this gospel was in his bones. Paul couldn't think apart from the gospel. Read what the man wrote. He couldn't talk on any subject. He couldn't address any situation. He couldn't face any problem. He couldn't deal with any friend or any foe without focusing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was in his heart. The fact that God had sent his son, who lived a perfect life, worked out a perfect righteousness, and died an atoning death, so that by his life he earned the right to heaven for Paul, and by his death he obliterated Paul's deserving to go to hell. That was something Paul could never get over. He could never simply nod his head and say, yes, I believe it. It moved him. What's happened? I'm not saying this critically of you. I start with me here. But let me ask you reverently, in God's name, and I mean that literally as I ask the question in God's name, for this is the question that he's asking. What has happened to us? What has happened to us? What on earth is going on in the minds of us, God's people? We can be moved by anything. We can be gripped by anything. Listen, I'm going to be, and if this sounds harsh or critical, well, hallelujah, it's meant to be. I'm not apologizing for it. But there are Christians in this very room, and you've been moved to such pitches of excitement because somebody scores a home run or a touchdown or whatever. And it's been years since you were stirred by the gospel. Now tell me, in God's name, in the name of him who took his son and sent him to the cross, what is happening to us? And I include me there. What's wrong with my brain? I think it's not with the brain, it's with the heart. I hope you'll take the same question. What's wrong with my heart that I've got so cold and so desperately disinterested that I can live my life and I can get all worked up about any stupid little ridiculous thing under the sun? But I'm never really thrilled with the gospel. Does it not thrill you at all tonight that the Son of God loved you and gave himself for you? Does it not thrill you that he lived a life of absolute obedience to God, and with every thought, every word, every deed, every purpose, he wove in the finest fibers of his own perfection a garment of absolute righteousness, and he has come to you and cast away all the filthy clouts of your own wickedness, and he's clothed you in that glorious garment? Does that not move your heart? When you go to Calvary's cross and you see him bathed in his own blood, and you see him there hanging between heaven and earth, bearing the wrath of man, bearing the wrath of devils, and then in the darkness of Golgotha, bearing the wrath of God. Does it not move you to hear the voice of dereliction, such a voice as earth has never heard before or since? Such a cry as angels never heard. Such a cry as even God had never heard. Such a cry as even hell could not produce. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does it not move your heart? Does it not thrill your soul? Oh, Paul gloried. He gloried in this gospel. It was always fresh. But when he said, I'm not ashamed, he not only meant, I'm proud of it, I boast in it, I'm thrilled by it, I love it, I enjoy it, I live by it. He meant quite literally, I am not ashamed of it. Matthew Henry said, I count him a Christian who is not ashamed of the gospel and whose life is not a shame to the gospel. By that standard, Paul was a mighty Christian. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I want you to think of that text very simply in these closing moments. I thought of it, I have preached in this text many times, so I'm going to deal with it very, very straightforwardly tonight, as triumphing over every temptation to be ashamed of the gospel. Can I make the obvious remark to start that there are many things that tempt Christians to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Obviously, there's always the fear of man and the fear of persecution. In Paul's day, that was a very real fear. Death stared Christians in the face at every step and turn. Imprisonment stared them in the face. We talk about discrimination rather glibly today. In those days, to be a Christian could cost you everything. Yet you know only of Paul, but of the early days of the Christian church, while there were people who gave way under pressure in those first two or three centuries, the overwhelming testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ faced with persecution was, you can kill the body, you can do whatever your hands can devise to do, but I will never deny Jesus Christ. You have often, I'm sure, heard preachers read the last statement of Polycarp at 86 years old as he was being led out to a martyr's death. Very simply, he said, can I be ashamed of him? No way. No way. But there, that fear could cause you. Perhaps you have found that you really don't have too much cause to worry about persecution as yet. There are not too many of us in America who face the possibility of death just for being a Christian. But you're afraid of man. You're afraid of what somebody might think about you. You're afraid of what somebody might say about you. You're afraid of what it might cost you. That's one thing tempts Christians to be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel offends the wisdom of man, and sometimes that certainly tempts preachers. I'm amazed at how little real gospel preaching there's left in the world. Preachers are preaching anything but the gospel. Why? They have to have some new thing. What does that tell you? Even in evangelical churches. The gospel offends the wisdom of man. It did in Paul's day. It does in our day. There's nothing has brought scorn on Bible preachers more than preaching the old blood atonement. Many who are supposed to be Christians have mocked this doctrine of the blood. Without getting off on a tangent, that's one reason, not the only reason by any means, and much more exegetical reasons from Scripture, but that's, and theological reasons I should add, but that's one reason, because the world hates the blood atonement, that I will defy with every fiber in my being this movement among Bible believers to deny any value or virtue to the literal blood of Christ, that it's just blood that fell to the dust of Palestine and corrupted, even though the Bible calls it incorruptible blood. how the world is offended by the word of God's gospel. And people don't want to be counted obscurantists, intellectual pygmies, or whatever. Well, I want to tell you, I'm quite happy to be an obscurantist, if that's what it is, and an intellectual pygmy, if it means believing God and disbelieving the devil's lies. I'll believe God any day. The gospel offends the pride of man. It levels him and his religions into the dust. That's one reason there's so little gospel preaching in so-called Bible-believing churches now. We've got to give man some part to play in this whole scheme of salvation. We can say man's a sinner. He's totally depraved. Oh, that means all except his will, of course. Somehow or other, that escaped the fall. He's dead. Oh, yes, he's dead. But he can still tell himself to be alive if he chooses to. It's the gospel that's being preached today. God has done his part. Now it's up to you to do your part. That's the gospel that's being preached today. The day that gospel gets to be preached in this pulpit, may God close our doors. Because that's not a gospel at all. These are things. I could go on. The gospel places you at odds with society. You're going to feel like the odd man out. And the longer you live in this country or any other country. And when I say in this country, I'm not singling America out to be particularly bad. I'm simply saying that it's true wherever you go. If you go to England, you'd be counted even odder. If you go to Europe, you'd be thought to be a Martian. You're far more likely to get a welcome in what are thought to be the heathen countries of the African jungles. You're far more likely to get a Christian welcome there than ever you'd be in any of these European capitals. The gospel puts you out of sync with the world. And that's always a temptation to compromise and to be ashamed of the gospel. But let me tell you, there are very good reasons never to be ashamed of it. And I will list them. And I will do my best not to preach them. Here are the reasons why Paul could say, I'm not ashamed. The power of the gospel removes all sense of shame. The gospel is the power of God. Look, when you have a message that's dynamite, that it can step in and do miraculous things, change lives, change homes, make vicious, wicked sinners into mighty saints of God. Why would you be ashamed of that? I told you this morning of a young man, a drunkard, drove himself to the edge of hell, a suicide's grave. Just this very Sabbath day, sought the Lord. And I want to tell you, when God gets a hold of that heart, it'll be a new heart and a new creature. The friend that has been bringing him to church was just as vile and wicked a sinner and is completely revolutionized by that same gospel. Those are the two men who came to this preacher at my brother's grave and said, will you speak to us about our soul? Why would I be ashamed of the gospel when it can take men like that and revolutionize their lives? It's the power of God. The power of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.